Welcome to the Mind Body Heather podcast, where we discuss all things mental health and self-care at home, at work, and in the wild. We break down complex mental health topics and make them easy for anyone to understand, and relentlessly advocate for the destigmatization of mental illness. No matter who you are, if you want to learn more about mental health and self-care, this podcast is for you. Please note that the information discussed in this podcast is not intended to be used as medical advice or treatment. If you're struggling with your mental health, please reach out to a qualified professional for help. If you feel you're in crisis, please text the crisis hotline at 741-741. Hey everyone, it's your host Heather. I hope you've had a great week so far. I'm recording this on the Sunday night before the release date, and let me tell you, it was another rip-roaring great week for me. For those of you who know me or follow me on Instagram, you probably know that the past 8 months or so have been trying AF. That is an understatement. I won't list all the things that have happened, but just trust me when I say that I could literally write an entire book about the last 8 months of my life and you'd think it was fiction. I'm telling you. It kind of feels like every time I get back up to try to dust myself off and like just get back up and use negative life events as fuel for strength, someone slam dunks a pile of manure on the top of my head, points and laughs, and then runs away. Or actually, hold on, I got a better one. You know what it feels like? This is so random. Okay, only my 90s kids are gonna get this. All right, you know what it feels like? Okay, remember the show What Would You Do? And not the newer one with John Quiñones, not that one. I'm talking Mark Summers' What Would You Do? From the 90s. I think it must have been on Nickelodeon. Hold on. I'm going to play the theme song because I kind of forget how it goes. I remember a little bit, but I kind of forget how it goes. Hold on. Let me see. Are you ready for this? Unbelievable. Oh my gosh. Oh, you got to play the video. You got to go on YouTube and play it. Oh my god. Well, we almost played it again. And it was great, so I wouldn't even be mad if we played it again. But I'll just keep playing it on loop. I don't know if that would be a form of torture or euphoria. I mean, you decide. Wow, what a flashback. Those were simpler times. I'm sorry, they just were. Core memories, my friends, core memories. All right, so if you remember the show, you'll get this. But if you don't, I'm going to try to explain this, right? So in this show, there would be these games where contestants would have to pick a door number that they thought like didn't have a pie behind it or something like that, like a cream pie. This is already a poor explanation. But anyway, if the person picked the wrong door, it would open and there would be a cream pie of sorts behind it in a hand would smash the pie in the contestant's face. For some reason, this had a seriously high comedic value in the 90s. Simpler times. Okay, wow, what a long way to say that I feel like I keep inadvertently opening the doors with pies behind them. Your girl is getting pied on repeat. I just hope they're gluten-free and vegan. Honestly, that's what it feels like. We're just getting pied. Door number three. Oh, it's a pie in the face. Door number one. Oh, it's a pie in the face. Oh, I didn't even pick a door. Oh, the door's just opened. The door's just opening. I didn't pick a door. Oh, look, it's a door. It's just opening. A pie in the face. But hey, look. I think when you go through a period of life where it feels like the universe is throwing punch after punch at your entire life, gratitude, reflections, and grounding work is super important. So that's what I've been doing. It had been 3 years since I wrote in my journal. I'm not very good at staying consistent with that. I'll be honest. Because I don't, I'm one of those people that like, I want to be an avid, you know, journaler. Is that a word? I want to be consistent and write in my journal, but I just, sometimes I don't even know where to start. Like I'm not, I don't, there's like journaling prompts you can look up and whatever, but I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know where to start, or the prompts aren't like inspiring me in any way. They're not resonating with like what I'm currently feeling. But as a person that struggles to figure out how, you know, how I'm actually feeling sometimes, I know it can be helpful. So I broke that bad boy out. I've been writing weekly reflections where I just simply reflect on the events of the week and how I felt. This usually helps me better understand my feelings, honestly. Let me take a sip of my delicious turmeric tea because your girl's also inflamed. All right. Maybe you got some good ASMR from that. Who knows? We can only hope. So I've been tacking on some gratitude, just writing a few things I'm grateful for. Because during these times, it can be really easy to fall prey to a victim mentality, right? When it's just like one thing after another, we can start like talking like that. Oh, it's just one thing after another. I feel like, you know, like nothing's going to get better. Every time I try to, you know, make things better for myself, it's another thing. And all these things are out of my control. So don't tell me it's things that are in my control and I can't control them. And that's really true sometimes. So, I mean, for those of you who know, like I've grieved a loss or grieved, that should not be past tense at all. I'm still very much grieving a loss. My mom said to me the other day, she thought that, you know, part of my issues, I'm kind of in a pretty hypervigilant state at all times. She feels like I haven't grieved it. And I've been trying to, but, you know, I started a new job, which, by the way, is going very well. Shout out to good employers. I'm starting my third week tomorrow. And I do have to go in person for the first 4 weeks. It's just their part of their onboarding, and then I'll be hybrid, which will be great. But so far so good. So that's good. That's a good thing. See right there. I got to pause and say that is a good thing. So, and it's been a long time since I could say that I have a good employer. So that is a good thing. So just because many of these events, like the events that have happened the past several months, have been legitimate emergency situations. Like I said, I'm kind of living in a constant state of hypervigilance, which has blown my cortisol levels out of the water and has made it far more difficult to deal with ADHD symptoms. So grounding meditations are definitely in order for quite some time until I feel like my parasympathetic nervous system enters the chat more often. Would be nice. Doors open. Hopefully not the one with the pie behind it. So yeah, all this to say, I hope your week has been good and that you're in a good state of mind today. Let's shift focus a little bit. This week's episode is a Q&A episode. And I'm so excited to answer your questions on mental health and self-care. I've been so excited. Ever since I decided to start this podcast, I have been the most excited about doing Q&As, answering your questions, giving advice. I'm so excited about that. I grew up, obviously, now you know, in the 90s. That's, you know, where all my core memories were really built. I mean, I was born in the 80s, but I remember the 90s more than the 80s. And there was a lot of like hotline shows, call into the hotline and I'll answer your questions, blah, blah, blah. And I used to love that stuff, man. So some of that stuff's coming back now. And I don't know that this will turn into a hotline show per se, but I am excited to do a little Q&A today. And this will be a recurring theme for the podcast. So as always, stay tuned to the Instagram, and I will always let you know in advance when I'm going to be recording a Q&A episode, and I'll give you multiple opportunities to ask your burning questions, and I will answer them. So, There's a wide range of questions to get to today, so let's just dive right in. Question one, how do I deal with burnout? How do I recover without taking a break? So this is a twofer, and this is really important. So I wanted to make sure I got to this question, and I put it right at the front of the line. I'm incredibly passionate about this topic as a person who has experienced burnout so intensely that I needed a break, but also as someone who works in a field where burnout is so prevalent that it's taking great clinicians out left and right. The first thing I want to mention here is I'm not sure what your work situation is. You didn't disclose what you do for a living, which is totally fine. Obviously, I don't need to know who your employer is. So I can't give you specific advice on what you should do with regards to your specific job, but I can definitely give you general advice. So the first thing, or maybe, you know, just one really important thing to do, it may or may not need to be the first thing. You'll have to figure that out when I go through kind of all these bullets that I have floating around in my head. Bullet points, I should say. Anyways, talk about, talk to your employer if you're comfortable. A lot of times, even jobs that are, you know, naturally higher, you know, cause higher burnout. So obviously my line of work, working in mental health, high burnout, healthcare in general, nurses, doctors, high burnout, veterinarians, high burnout, dentists, high burnout, teachers, high burnout, counselors in schools, high burnout. And I'm sure there are more. Maybe even law enforcement. I think a lot of these like frontline, direct care, quote unquote essential worker. Remember that? Man, did that definition change so many times throughout the pandemic? But anyways, neither here nor there. A lot of times, like these jobs, the jobs in themselves can cause burnout, right? If you're not careful, you're not taking good care of yourself. But if you are in one of those jobs or in any job, and you're feeling burnt out, and you also work for an employer that's not supportive of your well-being, it's going to be really difficult for you to get yourself out of that place. So if you are in a situation where you like your job or you think you could like your job, but you're feeling like your employer is not being as supportive as you need them to be, in order for you to do your job and stay in a well mental state, talk to your employer. You really have nothing to lose here. I mean, if you talk to your employer and you get a bad reaction, that's kind of tells you, I think, all you need to know about maybe what you should do. If that happens, take a step, at least the first step towards getting out of that situation, because it's not going to get better. I guess you can, but it's going to be really difficult for you to get yourself out of a place of burnout and have that be sustainable if you have an unsupportive employer. I don't know if you work for yourself, that would be a different situation. And maybe a couple of things that I mention just in a minute would be helpful for that. But if you're employed by somebody else, you got to talk to them. If you're really comfortable and there's kind of a good relationship that you have with your supervisor, you could even let them know that you're feeling burnt out. You know, I would say, and I've had to say, I'm feeling burnt out by the job. I like my job, but I am struggling a little bit right now with, you know, whether it's compassion fatigue, you know, which happens a lot in my field, or, you know, just some of the day-to-day stuff that's a little bit harder to deal with is wearing on me. And I'm trying to take good care of myself, but I wanted you to be aware so that, you know, maybe I could get some extra support. You know, what do you think? You know, or maybe they could take something off your plate. I don't know. If you have a good employer, they're going to want to know that you're feeling burnt out. They're going to want to do with whatever they can do that's within their power to help you feel less stressed out, because they're going to want, they want you there, right? I mean, hopefully they do. Hold on. So the other thing is probably a little bit obvious, but you know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to focus on self-care when you're feeling burnt out. A lot of times it's a result of not focusing on self-care. And remember, I don't necessarily give specifics on self-care, you know, oh, do this, do that, because it looks different for everybody. So, you know, everybody knows at this point probably that for me, rolling out my yoga mat, doing my skincare routine, meditating, those are my jammy jams. That's self-care for me. And sometimes some other things. Watching Real Housewives is definitely self-care sometimes. So, you know, it's whatever it looks like to you, but you have to focus on that, okay? So self-care, whatever that looks like for you, implement that more into your life now than when you're not burnt out. Like, always have a self-care routine, but like amp it up. Like, go from like wherever you're at, like, you know, whatever, 20 to like 100, all right? I want you to go 100 miles an hour on your self-care routine right now. Make the time for it. You can't afford not to. All right. I think maybe also in this situation, like just writing down the pros and cons of the job could be helpful. So, you know, because you need to decide, like, is this a job I even want? Like, do I even want to do this? And you know, you're young, and even if you're not, you know, making sure that you're happy at work, and not, no one's job is perfect except for maybe dog walkers. I think their job might be pretty close to perfect. But there's crap with every job. All right. So that it is what it is. But I think writing down the pros and cons of your job and really weighing those against one another will help you decide, you know, do I want to even put up with getting through the burnout for this job? Or could I solve my problem by getting out of this job? You know, if you need to change careers, like really think about that. I mean, I changed careers for like 40 seconds. And then I realized this is what I'm meant to do. Maybe not podcasting, or maybe podcasting, because this is fun as hell, man. But you know, working in mental health is, I don't know. I think maybe it's what I'm meant to do, or at least there was a reason why I came running back to it. I'm going to say crawling. It felt like crawling at first, and now, you know, I'm glad that I did. But I left because I was burnt out, man. I left K through 12 in October. It was a great decision. I had to do that even after I got a third degree and a second master's degree. And this isn't a flex. I got a second master's degree during the pandemic because it was really hard to get, you know, to get clinical hours, which I needed for a certain type of license during the beginning of the pandemic. So I just said, okay, screw it. Schools will be open. They need people. I'll go for my, you know, CAGS which is a Certificate of Advanced Graduate Studies in school counseling. Did that, got licensed in that, and worked in the school system for a couple years. And it literally tore me apart. I didn't even recognize the person I was in the mirror anymore. And if you're at that point, this is a red flag of all red flags. Change something immediately if that's where you're at, all right? Write down the pros and cons of the job. See if it's even worth it, okay? And then I also want to say, like, to your second question, how do I recover without taking a break? Just, it's okay to take a break, all right? This might not be easy for everybody, but sometimes, and speaking from experience, taking even a short break can help you realize what you want. So if you're able to, and it might not be feasible, but if you're able to take a break, it might be helpful to see what it is you truly want, all right? Because when you're in the thick of it and you're burnt out and you're stressed out, it can be really hard to see clearly. So it's okay to take a break if you can, There's nothing wrong with that. If you can't, focus on the other things that I was talking about, okay? And good luck, and take care of yourself, because your health and well-being is the number one most important thing. If you don't have that, you're not going to have any success at any job. So good luck to you, my friend. All right. Next question. How do I stop my anxiety from holding me back from the enjoyable things I want to do in life? All right, I like this one because it was more specific. A lot of times people talk about anxiety holding them back in the sense where anxiety is holding them back from doing big things in life, getting married or having kids or, you know, starting a new career or a new job or, you know, making big changes. If you can hear dogs barking in the background, they're actually not mine. There are three massive Great Danes that live at the house in the house behind me, and they're beautiful and I love them so much and I'm obsessed with them. But naturally, because they are 200 plus pounds, their bark is very loud. Anyways, I wish you could see them because I love them so much. Okay, back to the question. But you're asking me, you know, how do you stop your anxiety from holding you back from the enjoyable things you want to do in life? And I don't think people like think about that or talk about that enough. Is anxiety often, you know, when it peaks or when it gets really bad, it prevents us from doing those bigger things that I was just talking about. All right, because we're like, those things have a big impact on your life. So naturally, as human beings, we would resist making those big changes for as long as possible because the brain defaults to easy mode. That's just how we are, unfortunately. We will always take the path of least resistance unless we force ourselves against it. And have the discipline and whatnot to do hard things. But anxiety can also hold you back from doing the things you enjoy. And that's a big issue because it's kind of a double-edged sword a vicious cycle. So like if your anxiety is so bad that you're not able to do the things you enjoy, and those things you enjoy might be the things that help reduce your anxiety symptoms. Like that's going to be a vicious cycle, right? Because then you're just going to have more anxiety. Your baseline's going to stay pretty high, and then you're not going to be able to do the enjoyable things. You're going to get frustrated by that, and round it goes. So I think something that's really important here would be to think about present moment awareness, okay? I think some mindfulness is in store for you or in order for you. If your anxiety is so bad that you're having a hard time doing things you enjoy, take some more time to focus a lot on the present moment. Because I venture to say that anxiety, I don't want to say venture to say, but it, anxiety and depression can sometimes go hand in hand, not always. But you could be going down that path because now you're not doing the things that you enjoy. You're taking the joy out of your life. You're anxious. Things could take a turn for the worse, right? Things are just going to keep going down a difficult path for you if you don't, you know, intervene here. Which you can, okay? So focus on present moment awareness. You know, definitely grounding work, psychological safety, all that stuff. So some present moment mindfulness meditations could be really good. Obviously, you know, I always say this, and I won't repeat myself on this every single time, but certain meditations are not for everybody. People with complex PTSD, or schizophrenia might really struggle with closed eye mindfulness meditations or transcendental meditations. So just make sure talk to your therapist if you have one, which I hope you do. Talk to your therapist about, is this right for me? Obviously, I don't know what you have going on aside from what you asked me. So I'm giving you just what I can generally give you based on what I know here. And then take some baby steps. All right. So you don't need to dive into these bigger things in life. And say you want to go on a overseas trip. Say you want to go to Europe. You want to do this for a long time. You save this money, have it. You can do it physically, financially, but you're so anxious that you can't even fathom packing the bags, making the arrangements, getting on a plane and going there. And that's a bigger thing, right? So maybe take a step back from that and say, okay, I'm not there yet. And that's okay. So I'm going to take some baby steps. What are some less, less intense things, right? Taking a trip overseas is pretty big. What are some smaller things that you enjoy doing that might take a little bit less toll overall that you can focus on doing every day or every other day or just making sure it's consistent, okay? So if, I don't know, if doing a face mask or a hair mask or, cooking a meal, do that once a week. If you like to meditate or if you like to draw, you like to do art, do a little something every day, okay? Take those baby steps first. And then when you're ready, when you feel like you're ready to take one of those bigger steps, take one of those bigger steps with, a safe person or safe people. What do I mean when I say safe people? I mean people that you feel like you can trust and that have your best intentions in mind all the time. So people that you always feel safe with. I would avoid doing these things with strangers or anybody you just met or anybody that you don't know or that you feel like might the energy might not match what you need when you're taking that bigger step so that it doesn't take a step backwards for you or I should say cause you to take a step backwards. And then what else? I guess I just go back to, doing these leisurely activities. If we're going to talk about more leisurely activities, the things you enjoy, those activities can lower your cortisol levels in and of themselves. So it's so important to reincorporate those in your lives, but just take baby steps, okay? And then try your best to focus on present moment awareness. Maybe do some body scanning meditations if that is available to you. So that you can feel more in your body and more connected to the earth, just help make you feel a little bit safer. And just one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, and you got this. You can definitely do this. You can get your life back. I believe in you. Good luck. Okay. All right. I have time for one more question. Because some of these, I want to give these good answers, right? I'm not here to give you some quick, meaningless answers. I want to give you the good stuff. So, all right. Third and final question. Remember I said at the beginning of the episode that there's a wide range of questions here. So this one's more focused on self-care, which I love. And this, I'm going to answer this on today's podcast episode because this is a question. I'm going to sound like an obnoxious influencer, and I'm not an influencer. Maybe I'm obnoxious, but I know I'm not an influencer. I have to be honest. I'm cringing. Just say it. All right. I get asked what I use on my skin all the time. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying that. Please do not stop listening. Please continue to listen. Unless you literally don't care about skincare at all, then fine. But I will say a few more things at the end of this episode, so maybe you want to stick around for that or just fast forward, okay? Let me move around in my chair here. I'm starting to get lower back pain from sitting, and that's how old I am. Sorry about that. All right. So, I get asked this question a lot, okay? Like, a lot. If you don't believe me, I will screenshot DMs, and I will show them to you. I get asked in public. It's something that I appreciate getting the question, and half the time I just don't even have the time to answer. Like, people at work will be like, oh my gosh, like, what do you use on your skin? And I'm like, you don't have to sit down and give me like 30 minutes here, which I will not take 30 minutes going over this right now, but I'm going to give you the quick 411. And if you're Gen Z, you have no idea what 401 is, but you're fine. You'll be fine. Okay, so, and first of all, thank you for the lovely compliment on my skin. Couldn't repeat it because I felt like one of those influencers that is like, that, you know, the influencers that do the lives and they're like, they'll read the comments out loud. There's like a viral video or a couple of them going around right now on Reels, just making fun of it. They'll be like, just waiting for a few more people. And oh, these are such nice comments. Oh my gosh, thank you so, you love my hair. It's so perfect and shiny. Oh, thank you, you're so sweet. Oh my God, like, I'm perfect. You're literally perfect. Well, that's impossible, but thank you so much. That means so much to me, thank you. Oh, okay, all right, anyways, horrific. All right. So skincare is super important to me. I'm going to give you just a quick lineup. I'm just going to tell you like the products that I use. And I'm not being paid for any of this. I wish. That would be sick. We are not there yet. Manifest it. Doing a lot of singing today. But I'm going to give you some of the lines that I use that I'm really enjoying at the moment. I do change things. I have some tried and trues, but for the most part, I do like change things fairly frequently. So I'm going to give you the product lines that I use. And I'll also tell you that I'm 39 years old. I think that's important to say that I'm not 20 years old talking about this and I'm not 60 years old talking about this. So, you know, our skin, the needs of our skin change over the course of our lives. So that's important to remember. So I'm 39 and I primarily focus on hydration, anti-aging, anti-wrinkle, but also, you know, glow and just radiance and whatnot. So I think that's really important, especially this time of year. I'm in New England and it is January 29th, so we aren't getting much sun. I'm like mainlining vitamin D at this point to stay, you know, even have like a halfway decent mood. But yeah, I mean, it's dry, very dry in New England right now. And, so hydration is the name of the game. In the summer, I tend to get pretty oily. So, I tend not to use as much like super hydrating stuff, but I still do use hydration, in my skincare, incorporate that in my skincare routine. Even in the summer, I just don't necessarily need something as intense. Is it more in terms of like moisturizer, and I might pull back on the hyaluronic acid a little bit in the summer because your girl gets oily. So I primarily use, I'll start with what I use for makeup for skin. I'm not going to go through like eyes and everything, whatever, because you're talking about skin. So one thing that I go back to over and over and over again, and I've come to the conclusion that this is probably my favorite thing to put on my skin, is Bare Minerals, the tinted moisturizer. I don't remember exactly what it's called. Probably should have prepared myself better for this. It's the Bare Minerals tinted moisturizer. I'm pretty sure they just have one. It has SPF in it, which I love that that's already in there. It's a light to medium coverage. Because I take such good care of my skin, I don't need a full coverage foundation, and I don't really like the way I look in a full coverage foundation anyways. Just now that I'm starting to get a little bit older, I can settle a little bit. But that is probably my favorite product to use on my skin for makeup. I love a tinted moisturizer, and that just happens to be the one that gives me the most glow without being too oily, and it just gives me some subtle coverage. So if you're looking for more coverage, probably wouldn't go for that, although you can build it. So other than that, if I'm like going out, I've been enjoying the Merit. It's a stick. They don't call it a concealer or foundation, but honestly, it's a lot like a concealer, but you can use it all over your face. So I'll just like draw lines on my face and then I'll take a foundation blending brush and I'll just blend. And it looks gorgeous and it feels very light. And that's more of your medium coverage. So if I feel like I need more coverage or I'm like doing a full face, I'm beating the face, I will use that. And I've been enjoying it. So those are the two things I use on my skin for makeup. In terms of skincare, we are looking at Tatcha. I've been enjoying Tatcha products. I like the rice, I think it's a rice powder exfoliant. The stuff is awesome. It's not your traditional exfoliant in the sense where you're like gonna feel the, you know, the coarseness the entire time that you're, you know, rubbing it on your face or putting it on your face. It starts out that way and then moves into more of a foam. But it has enzymes in it. So that in and of itself is exfoliating. And I find it to be a lot more gentle. And you shouldn't be using any sort of like really harsh exfoliants or, you know, anything with the beads in it. St. Ives, absolutely not. If you have St. Ives, that like coarse, like it's like little tiny pebble, like throw it out right now. You're ripping your skin apart and you can't see it yet. But use that for a long period of time and you're gonna see it. Throw it away. You don't need a harsh exfoliant to do the job, but you gotta exfoliate, okay? A couple times a week, 2-3 times a week is my vibe. So love Tatcha, big fan. Their purple and white collections. Purple is for hydration and then the white is more of an anti-aging, so check them out. Those are not cheap. But check them out. I'm going to pause this really quick and come right back because the dogs are going to start barking because my husband just came home. Be right back. There they are. That was Nora. She says, hi, I love you. All right. And we're back. Anyways, so other than that, I like, gosh, why am I having such a hard time thinking about this? I should have recorded this in my bathroom. Yeah, so Tatcha's great. Tula, I like some of their products, although I will say with Tula, I have the vitamin C serum. I don't find it to be remarkably better than the vitamin C serum from Derma E, and the price points are vastly different. So check out Derma E for that, because I think I'll probably just go back to that for my vitamin C serum. Honestly, vitamin C serums are, the concentration levels are going to be a little bit different in different products, but for the most part, they kind of just do the same job. So you can probably get away with something a little bit cheaper for that. Other than that, I've tried the Sunday Riley eye cream. Not a huge fan. Ole Henriksen is my favorite eye cream. So that's the banana vitamin C. It's in like a little orange container. That's my favorite eye cream so far, although I have been swayed into buying Dime under eye cream, and I'll let you know how that goes when I do buy it, but I it's not super cheap, so I'm waiting till the next paycheck. Then I'm going to buy it and I'll let you know how that goes. But this is going to blow your mind. Elf under eye cream. It's a hydration, has hyaluronic acid. It's a moisturizing under eye cream. I layer that on top of the Sunday Riley and that stuff is super hydrating. And Elf is so cheap. So go out and get yourself some of that right now, especially this time of year. If you're in a cold climate, go grab some of that. I paid like, what, $8? Super cheap. Super worth it. And for my moisturizer, I've been using Philosophy and Fresh, both of them for day and night. And I also have a Tula moisturizer that sometimes I use during the day, depending on what I'm putting on my skin after. And the Tula moisturizer is their vitamin C brightening. So that's a really short version of what I use. I also, if you follow my Instagram, you've probably seen me use this before. I use the Theraface, which is a very expensive product, but I got it for Christmas. And it's pretty awesome. The Theraface is a product made by Therabody. It's the parent company. And it is a electronic device that has multiple attachments. One is a cleansing attachment. And there is a microcurrent attachment where there's multiple different levels of intensity you can use. It comes with a gel that you can use as a barrier, which you always need to have a barrier when using microcurrent technology on your skin. There is a light device. So it's a round light device, and you can choose from blue light, which is more of your purifying, more for your purifying needs. So if you're dealing with acne or just generally clogged pores, the blue light is great for that. And then it has red light. The red light is a good anti-aging tool. It's good for wrinkles. And then there is it's like a violet or like infrared. I think it's an infrared. And that is good for healing. So dark spots, any maybe acne scarring, anything that you feel like, you know, you need to heal on your skin, that's good for that. And it also has percussion devices, which is great to release facial tension and soften the muscles of the face. So that's good for, that's also good for anti-wrinkling and just generally feels good. And blah, 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 what else is there? I think that's it, right? Yeah. And you can buy these hot and cold attachments, which I did, but I don't really use them that much. I haven't really figured out how to use them right, and they get mixed reviews, so maybe I just need to spend a little bit more time figuring them out. But it's a great tool if you want to make the investment and you're obsessed with skincare. I'm enjoying it so far, but it is time consuming, so set aside time if you want to get the most out of the Theraface. You will want to use it several times a week, and it is time consuming, so make sure that you make the time for that, because if you go through the whole routine, it takes a while. So, and then my favorite face mask of all time, and then I'll stop here. But my favorite face mask of all time is by, and I'm going to butcher the name of this. It's Asari. Maybe I didn't butcher it. Asari. It's like Asairi. I think that's what it is. It comes in a bright yellow tube, and it's a red clay face mask, but it's purifying and it balances skin tone, and I love it. So that's my favorite like cream face mask. Otherwise, I've been getting that for years, by the way, and you can only get it, I'm pretty sure you can only get it online. And other than that, I buy sheet masks, of course. You know, the good stuff, the clean stuff. I buy the sheet masks and use those for anti-aging and stuff like that. I also have an Ole Henriksen retinol face serum. It comes out and it's like purple. It smells kind of good, even though it's supposed to be like pretty clean. And I've been liking that too. So that's about it. I could go on forever. I wasn't even going to go on for that long, but it's a lot. So, I should be honest with you guys. I can't lie. I do get Botox on my forehead and my 11s. I do. And I recently got Botox in my, my frown line, like muscles. Gosh, my injector. If you're listening to this, I'm sorry for the awful terminology. They're the muscles, that turn your, help you to frown, that cause you to frown. And I do that. They're very strong on my face. So I'm trying that and I'm like, not sure. It's very interesting. I'm not sure if I like the way it feels, but we'll see. But I'm not going to lie. I do get a little extra help, but I have stopped doing filler. I haven't done filler in a long time. So I don't have any of that anymore. And I'm trying to focus a little bit more on more natural ways to stave off the aging process while getting a little bit of help, but I'm trying to not go overboard. So we'll see how it goes. All right. So I'm gonna stop there with that, but I could do like 8 podcasts about skincare. That's all I have for today, my friends. This was a little bit of a longer one. These won't normally go this long. Obviously, I'm not talking properly anymore. I'm forgetting how to speak. So probably a good time to hit the road. And by hit the road, I mean continue to clean and fold laundry and maybe roll out the yoga mat, get ready for work tomorrow, and call it a day. But thank you for sending in your questions. And if I didn't get to yours today, I'm sorry. I do have them in my back pocket for the next Q&A episode. And of course, subscribe, rate, and leave a review so that I can continue to share free mental health and self-care info with as many people as possible. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great day and stay well. Talk to you soon.